show. My name is Mark, and I am on with Susan King. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
You know what I'm really surprised about with this particular episode?
What?
With all of the music that was created just for this particular episode, why is the opening just your cold, regular, standard opening?
Yeah.
You know, why not just do, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal to re-edit the intro.
Right. David Rose was having an off night, I guess. I don't know.
He did a lot of music. I mean, I'm not sure if he definitely did all the music for this, but he probably did. But there is a lot of new music here.
Yes, a lot.
And you said that this is going to be Christmas at Plum Creek, which aired on December 25th, the evening of Christmas, 1974.
Yes, it did. Season 1, episode 15.
That's pretty, that's pretty ballsy to put your show out there on Christmas day, Christmas evening.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. I was so surprised. I mean, I checked on the internet like three or four. Surely this can't be right. Mm-hmm. Not on Christmas night, but...
And do you know what day of the week that is?
You know what?
It's probably a Sunday. I'm going to look.
I didn't look. Well, I mean, maybe it was a Monday, because didn't Little House normally come on Monday?
No, it was a Wednesday.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's kind of odd. But, Gerald Ford was president, and a lot of weird things were going on, so...
not as weird as things right now.
I think things have never been more normal than they are right now.
Okay.
Back in 1874 and now things are pretty similar.
Yeah. Horses are a lot more expensive now, though.
Yeah.
And stoves. My gosh.
Well, I have a few theories about the stove, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
I'm going to play a little intro just to get us to where we are in this. It's weird with this particular episode. They had to have chosen days where there was overcast.
Right.
They have all this really terrible looking fake snow everywhere.
Yeah. It was pretty good, though. It got worse as the series went on. If we dial all the way back to the Christmas they never forgot, I mean, it was just blankets of cotton on top of the house.
But there's still foliage, there's still green pastures.
I know. We're such perfectionists. It's like, come on, Mike, get in there with somebody with a chainsaw and get rid of all those green leaves.
Well, if you look in front of Olson Mercantile, there's a decoration of a lot of evergreen, but there's also a bush that's in full bloom.
Right.
So it's kind of funny. But here we go. I'm just going to play this little clip here.
All righty. Let's get to it.
Mark, come on. Time to go.
That's enough. Pa's ready to go.
Just one more time.
No, now get off.
You ought to get a saddle for him.
I don't need one.
If he was mine, I'd get him a saddle.
Well, he isn't yours.
I wish he was. Would you lend him to me?
No.
Why not? I'd let you play with my China doll. Lend him to me for a week and I'll let you play with my China doll all that time.
No!
I'll buy him from you.
He's not for sale.
You'd buy him for me, wouldn't you? The pony, if I told you how much I wanted him.
I don't know now.
Please? I promise I won't ask for another single solitary thing for Christmas if you buy me Buddy.
Laura, will you take $5 for him?
He's not for sale.
You can't say that. Only your pa can say that. He's for sale, isn't he, Mr. Ingalls?
Well, I'm afraid not, Nellie. That's Laura's pony. If she doesn't want to sell him, she doesn't have to sell him.
You don't even have a saddle.
I hate that, Nellie Olson.
Laura, don't say hate and don't even think hate. Now, you may be angry, but try to understand. I'm sure Nellie must have some fine qualities in her.
Your mother's right. On the way home, we'll try to think of one.
So, of course, let's laugh at Nellie. But
yeah,
those evil Ingalls.
And I don't know if Nels was lowballing her or not, because you know I was going to do research before we started chatting. And
well, he's a shrewd business person.
Because when I researched, it said horses' average cost of a horse, like a full-grown horse, was like $60, but it could run anywhere between 10 upwards to 200. So $5 for a pony, I don't know.
They're pony, you know. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, the only difference between a pony and a horse really is the age, right? I really don't know.
Well, and the size. It's not like a pony could, you know, an investment in a horse, I would think, was worth it because it could pull its weight around the farm, as they used to say. But a pony.
But doesn't a pony grow to be a horse? Or no, it doesn't work like that.
Well, you know, I'm not a farm girl. Can you tell?
Seriously. But, you know, this is... right away, there's some stuff that you don't get in the later episodes. You get a little bit of a holier-than-thou Christian attitude.
Yes.
And these are the remnants of what's left of that. I don't think it's refreshing. I don't really like the religious aspect of the show. I like that they are religious. I like that they do things that are moral. But I hate the preachiness of it all.
Yeah, and it's very, well, and of course it's the 70s too, and so I think it was a lot more acceptable. You know, it's not politically correct now, I guess. But
Reverend Alden is nowhere to be found. Like, it's Christmas, and there's no town tree or something. I don't know. This is a lot of oddness going on in this particular episode.
But I love this episode. To me, this is like the three Christmas episodes they did, this one, and then, of course, Blizzard, which was, you know, started out kind of okay and just kind of went downhill from there. And then, of course, the Christmas They Never Forgot, which is just like,
very
to
forgettable.
I actually saw something on the internet where somebody was arguing that and saying that they thought the Christmas They Never Forgot was the best Little House Christmas episode, and I'm like, oh, come on. Mary's hair alone makes it worse.
Yeah, like, it is pretty bad, but yeah, I mean, somebody who says that is kind of, you know, that's like going and buying a greatest hits or something from Aretha Franklin. It's like, no, that's not what you do. But
I agree.
So here we go. We have Carrie actually saying a number of lines in this particular episode, which
she does.
Yeah.
She does. And clearly.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, most of them.
I guess let the listeners be a judge of that. But clearly Michael Landon likes to play with children and fire. There's a scene where he's having her blow out the match, which reminds me of that 1980s commercial about asthma. Where, you know, it's like, it just came to me like that. It's like, if you have asthma, you can't even blow out this match. And they have these people trying to blow out the match. Poor people.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And of course, this episode, we don't want to get through this without mentioning it in case somebody didn't catch it, is that this is, I'm not going to give it away, but this story is very loosely based on O. Henry's Gift of the Magi in a kind of sort of way.
Yeah. But here we go. This is Pa's weird discussion about what Christmas is, which I think is, I don't know. It's one of these ones I've never heard of, to be honest with you, but. Maybe you can explain it after.
Again. Yeah. Hey, it's a good thing we ran into Nellie Olson today. We might have forgotten about Christmas altogether.
Not me, nor me either.
Not me either.
Oh, but what if we did forget? You think Santa Claus would come all the way down from the North Pole for Christmas anyway?
What's Christmas?
What's Christmas? Well, that's a very good question. Here. Let's see if I can show you. See that star up there? A real big one? Well, a long, long time ago, a star like that appeared in the sky. Except it was much, much bigger and much brighter. Now, lots of people saw it, but only a few people knew what it meant. Some shepherds, three kings, three wise men. And they followed that star a long, long way. They finally came to a manger. And you know what they found? A baby. Baby Jesus. And he was God's son. And God gave him to the world because he loved us. So Christmas is the baby Jesus' birthday.
And now, young lady, it's time for Dreamland.
Give me my kiss.
He's always going to sleep. It's always bedtime for Carrie.
Let's get her, go to bed. Go to bed. So what is You're in the way.
What is the story where there's a bright star that leads them to Jesus? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's in the Bible. That's taken from the story of the birth of Christ, where there's a star in the sky. And, people get real cuckoo about it because people get, you know, they're like, what I mean is that people are like, oh, he wasn't born December 25th. Why do we celebrate it then? And we could go way back into that, but I'm not going to waste the podcast talking about that. But yes, that is the traditional story in the Bible.
And what star? Is it the North Star? Or?
It was, the star. Well, I don't think they identify it as the North Star in Scripture. They just, it's the star in the sky that the light from the star kind of came down and took them to where the manger was. And so that's just the traditional Christian biblical story of Christ. And what cracks me up about it is because hopefully everybody that's listening to the podcast knows by now that Michael Landon was Jewish. And so whenever, as a Christian, when I watch that, knowing that he's Jewish, I kind of watch him say that line that Christ is God's son. It kind of catches in his throat. Because before Michael Landon passed away, he did a big article in Life magazine. And he talked about that because after he and Lynn divorced, Lynn became, if you want to call it that, a born-again Christian. And he expressed in that Life magazine that because of their spiritual beliefs, they were all concerned about him and him dying without accepting Christ. Yeah. And he just basically said in Life magazine, hey, you know what? I'm Jewish and God hates a hypocrite. And I've never believed that Christ was the Son of God and God hates a hypocrite. So I'm not flipping my story. And so,
and again, I don't want to go down a religious tangent. I know you don't either, but,
no, not at all.
No, I don't mind all, there being religion and plus being a Christmas episode. Of course we have to have a little bit of this.
Sure.
It's just kind of weird how, like, the 70s just kind of assumed that everyone who was watching it knew what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I never heard that story about a star. Like a searchlight, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a bat signal, I guess.
But really, that's very interesting because, I wasn't raised in the church as a kid. My spiritual life didn't develop until 1993. But that's interesting. It's so interesting that we're doing this because I am a Christian. And so it's interesting to think about it from a different perspective that I just fully accepted that story just because that's kind of what I had heard as a child. Well, yeah,
So, all right.
It's just interesting to hear that different perspective, that that's just not something that's familiar to you. So that's cool.
I do have a couple questions, and it has to do with this, and then we'll just get right back into the show. But
yeah, okay.
I got into a discussion the other day with someone, and they were saying, was Jesus bar mitzvahed? And was he raised Jewish? And in that case, was Mary Jewish? And the person said, Mary doesn't sound like a very Jewish name. Like, I don't think there were too many Heathers.
Yeah, and that's very interesting because he wasn't Jewish.
Christianity didn't exist, of course.
Right.
I'm going to guess Catholicism just didn't either. Nothing, really. It was the Aramaic writings, of the Hebrew people.
Right, exactly. So, wow, I would think, he was Jewish, so I would think, yeah.
Because Mary would have to be Jewish in order for him to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Landon, I believe his father was Jewish. So yes, technically, father, Michael Landon was not Jewish.
His father because was
he,
Jewish.
He wasn't born and his, in the blood of Judaism. But it's fine. You know, it's also yeah. anybody can be Jewish just by, you know, it's not like.
Right. Yeah. His mother, his dad was Jewish and his mother was Catholic.
Yeah.
Of all but, things. You know, so, yeah.
It's one of those things that I just couldn't answer. I didn't know. I don't know really anything about the part two of the Bible. The sequel.
The sequel.
No. No, and I respect it. You know, it's just I don't know. That's all.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
So a lot of this episode has to do with... Here, I have one thing I want to say about this episode. It's very visual. There's not...
Yes.
There's a lot of the same nonsensical things being said over and over and over again. I don't know if you caught that. Like, I don't know what to get Ma. I don't know what to get Pa. Well, and it's like, oh my God, shut up already. Then there are scenes where there's no dialogue. You know, they just go on. There's a lot of music.
Right.
And it's good music. I have some examples of it. But here's an example of the kids saying how they have no idea what they're going to get the parents.
You mean you don't have any ideas at all?
I'm afraid not, Halfpint. Your ma's not one for asking for things. I've been scrounging around in my head trying to come up with something. I just keep coming up empty-handed.
But I want to give her something.
I know you do. So do I.
How'd you learn to make a fish trap, Pa?
Just kind of picked it up. Having to do for yourself's the best teacher there is. Come on, don't fret. We'll think of something for Ma. Oh, it's getting cold.
It's like 84 degrees.
Oh, it's getting cold. It's getting cold here in Simi Valley.
I mean, they go on and on and on and on, like going back and forth with the different ideas. The one scene I really enjoyed was the second visit to the mercantile.
Yes.
And you go in there and it's like they're going to their own version of Macy's during Christmas. Yeah, they really don't have anything like that. So they're really window shopping, trying to get some ideas. Actually, what they're really doing is they're spying on Ma to
yes.
see what she will look at.
Mm-hmm.
And this also has some very good music in the background.
Yes, it does.
Oh! Pardon me.
Well, Lance, prices are going up.
Well, of course, Mr. Ingalls, it is the Christmas season.
I almost forgot.
Now, how many did you say?
2 dozen, I said.
All right, I'll mark it down.
Has the price of eggs gone up?
Well, of course not.
Now, I know what Charles Dickens had in mind when he wrote about Ebenezer Scrooge.
Charles?
Be right with you, Ingalls.
Take your time.
So, of course...
Right, Harriet, and marking up the price of the hat before Carolyn can look at it.
Only Charles could pull that off.
Right.
So here's an example of some of the music that I think will... I don't even know if they reuse this in future Christmas episodes. I'd have to listen. Here we go.
Thank you.
was just a really good example of a full minute of really just a visual from the perspective of what they're doing. And, you know, I also thought it was kind of interesting that they were really kind of telling a halfway decent story without any dialogue here. They were using a lot of facial expressions and a lot of things that you'd find in a lot of silent film. And I don't know if that's intentional or they really wanted to kind of, I guess, create something to push the music. But nonetheless, I thought it was a very interesting little scene.
Well, yeah, it is. And even though I haven't seen the episode for, maybe 2 weeks. But I love that scene at the end of that music clip. I can just completely see it in my mind where they've got Carrie staring up at that star, which is beautifully.
Right. And that's a little beautifully part at the end. Shot. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
The aluminum foil star.
Right. But I mean, they just shot it so beautifully. There's a couple of scenes like that that are just, it's just beautiful.
So here we go again with the girls basically saying over and over again, I don't know what to get Ma. I know what she wants, but I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
You know, it really kind of gets to the point where it's like, who cares?
Get to the part with the dirt.
I just want to point out that one of the things that Ma looked at was an oven.
Yes, the stove.
I'm going to guess a cast iron oven. That weighs probably a good 400 pounds or something.
Right.
And that was $7.87. And did you get an adjusted number on that?
You know,
but I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I was looking. Tell me what you got. Because I went looking through the Montgomery Ward's catalog of 1872. Mm-hmm. And they were saying cook stoves. And maybe they're talking about a big stove like the infamous Majestic stove that Nellie had in the restaurant. But they were saying cook stoves in the 1872 Montgomery Ward's catalog were $25.
Yeah, that would be a furnace stove, though. That would be... yeah. That would be something that had its own heating element. Its own heating source. Like you would have a space to put coals in or wood. This was probably something that, well, it looked anyway that it kind of went into the fireplace.
Yeah.
So this would use the heat probably from the fireplace. So but
it does have a stovepipe. Remember when it's set up in the store, it does have a pipe that goes up in the air. So yeah,
you're right about that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if that would snake itself up to the up through the chimney.
I don't know. No, because later when he added the kitchen addition to the little house, that stove was in a totally separate room away from the fireplace.
Well, I have a thing here. It adjusted for inflation and everything, about $141. So, I mean... if you think about it, though, it's just metal. I mean, if it's just cast iron.
Right.
It really is just a big hunk of metal that was poured into, you know, a mold. I would say that it was probably $100, and then they would, you know, to ship it, it would be like $40. It would be a large portion of that would be for the shipment.
Right.
I think, anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty, $7.87, that's pretty cheap. I went looking around at prices on everything they were looking at in the store, the fabric, the this, the that, and the other, and it's just so interesting to see, you know, I was looking at everything from the price of goats, $2, to what?
Right.
I was looking at everything, like the fabric that Mary looks at in the store. Average fabric was 13 to 15 cents a yard.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is also one of the few times I think you'll see, like a knitting type of thing. Like they're wearing stuff that was made from yarn.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't see this very often.
Hats. No. Mary and Laura's are wearing hat. Well, and just like, when we get it later into the episode and they start opening their Christmas presents, there's stuff that they get that we never see again.
Yeah, that's true too. But you know, like everything, it's almost as though somebody learned how to crochet on the set, and they're like, oh, I'll make everyone mittens and scarves and hats.
Right.
Because out of nowhere, everybody seems to have it. And even Laura learns how to do it.
Yeah, and even, Ma, I think, in one scene is wearing a crocheted vest mm-hmm. over her dress. So, yeah, everybody's got the knitting needles out.
But here's the girls talking about again, you know, what they don't know.
I know what Mom wants for Christmas, but I don't know how to get it for her.
I know what Pa needs.
What?
I'm not going to tell.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what Ma wants either.
That's helpful.
I'm afraid you might get it before I do, and then Pa will love you more. Well, it's too late. Pa already loves Laura more than Mary.
Exactly.
Ain't nothing you can buy Mary that's going to make him love you more than Laura. There's nothing.
So Pa is basically in, you know, there to talk to Nels. Nels has he makes a deal with Nels. Nels has a customer who needs new wagon wheels. You know, Charles, who clearly can do anything, give him enough time, said, I have access to these wheels. I'll build them and I'll offer it to him for $8, you know.
Right.
And they make the deal, you know, which is a pretty good deal, especially when we find out later what he's going to do with the money. Have you ever watched the TV show Parks and Recreation?
You know, I never have watched that.
Oh, there's a guy on it. There's a character, anyway, and it's played by this actor named Nick Offerman.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Offerman is these... I just started reading one of his books. It's about woodworking.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a real, I guess, it's hard to explain, man's man, but he's not really, it's hard to explain. But you'd have to really know the character he is. Like, he's kind of a rugged, like a rough guy. He does woodworking, he builds boats. He does a lot of hobbyist things. But he's in the book, he's talking about how he came upon learning how to do woodcraft and why he wanted to do woodcraft. And how his father did wood, you know, did build some things, and he was talking about it. And he said that when he was a kid, he would watch A Little House on the Prairie. And he said that if he considered everyone on the show kind of a superhero, because he's like, it's amazing that Charles could actually just build things. You know, it's like, right. If you don't have something, you just build it. Like, we don't have a house, we build it.
We'll build it.
The wagon wheel is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And some more successful than others. It took Nels forever to get the toilet straight before Harriet drowned with the water coming down. But
the water closet? Yeah.
Yes.
So he's going to make wagon wheels in his spare time. And what are we up to now? We have Ma, who is buying material. We have Mary, who's going to make Pa a shirt.
With Mrs. Whipple.
Yeah, with Mrs. Whipple. So here, I'm just going to play this a little of this, because this gets annoying almost immediately with Mary, because she's talking so fast.
Right.
Very irritating, but judge for yourself. See how much you can tolerate.
Guess what?
You swallowed a mouse.
No, she swallowed a pig.
Ma, I'm serious. I bet you can't guess.
You're right, dear. I can't. What is it?
I went to Mrs. Whipple, Ma. I showed her how I could sew a seam and do French knots, chain stitches, running stitches, cross stitches.
Hi, everybody. Well, that's quite a welcome.
Oh, Pa, the most wonderful thing has happened. You just gotta say yes. You just gotta give me...
All right, so he says yes. He lets Mary basically work at Mrs. Whipple to make money.
Right.
Which is something that I think that is one of the few things that does return in the future. She ends up working more and more for Mrs. Whipple.
Yes. Absolutely, she does. Several times.
Yeah.
The richest man in Walnut Grove when she temporarily quit school to earn money to help Pa get out of the hole.
Yes. And everybody seems to have little secrets, and everybody's kind of coming up with ideas.
Yes.
And everybody's actually keeping secrets for the first time, which is kind of strange. So Here's an
the mystery to me is how is Carolyn getting the hens to lay more eggs so that she can take more? Every time I see that episode, Charles is like, you're taking a lot more eggs, yet she still has enough to do Christmas baking and everything. But it was like, what did she do to those poor hens to get them to lay? I don't know.
Maybe she's stealing them like from a neighbor or something.
There you go.
Get eggs in town again? Seems like a lot more than usual.
Don't worry, there are plenty for us. Charles, you just got through saying Christmas is not the time to ask questions.
And he threw the egg up in the air and caught it. I kept thinking, that's pretty reckless. What if it fell?
I kept thinking it was going to go right in his hand. Yeah,
exactly. So... let's see. I mean, it really is. This is a very, very basic episode. Everybody's kind of looking at what they have around them to either sell or trade or do to get gifts for their loved ones.
Right. Or create. And that's, you know. And I think that's why it's so endearing to me. I had Christmases like that with my family where I said, okay, nobody's going to the mall. Everybody has to make a gift. And some of the best Christmases where it wasn't about Macy's or whatever. It was, okay, knit something, glue something, create something, color paper, whatever. And, had a couple of Christmases. Like, didn't last, though. Eventually, we all went back to the mall. But it was it was fun for the few times.
Eventually, the kid wants a Nintendo.
Exactly. But we weren't paying credit card bills off until, April or May. So, it had its advantages.
Absolutely. So what do we have here? We have Mrs. Whipple is helping make a really nice shirt made of this really nice material. They hold up the shirt, and then they do one of the few Hitchcockian edits. Where it's the same plaid material that they switch over to Olson Mercantile. And here is after the...
Ample, Mrs. Ingalls. Enough here for patch pockets, too.
Fine. Then wrap it up, please. And you won't say anything to my husband.
Not a word.
Thank you.
A lot of secrets.
like Charles is going to come into the mercantile. What did my wife buy today? Well, Charles.
She got some
plaid fabric for you. I mean, come on.
exactly. Like what? I think he's gonna make a saddle.
exactly. I mean, can you picture that? Charles ain't going to come in there. So this is some pretty fine fabric you got here now. And then, it's another weird thing. Did you notice, and maybe it went through the whole series and my brain just got numb to it, but in the first season, all the men always call each other by their last names. Ingalls, Olsen. They never used their first names in the first season. I don't know if they thought that was appropriate for the prairie or what, but
it was pretty common for the time.
Yeah, maybe so.
They probably tested, and they probably found that using the first names later on, we should really pay attention to when they start using first names and.
Right. I know. I've never noticed when the switch is. It just annoys me in the first season. Oh, okay, Ingalls. Okay, Olsen. It's just like, come on.
Right. No, it is. I noticed it a little bit in this one as well. Yeah. It didn't bother me too much, but no, I know what you mean. It's a little bit cold.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so here's Laura having a little one-on-one with Nels.
It has to be a secret.
Well, now...
Don't tell anybody.
Well, suppose you tell me what it is first, young lady.
Gotta whisper it.
So they're going back and forth negotiating on a price, I'm assuming?
I know. I always wonder what Nell said to her, where she shakes her head like,
Right.
I'll give you $6, Laura.
Right.
Now, don't tell anybody.
Oh, I won't.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
So I did find out that Jingle Bells was written and published in the 1850s. So
oh, okay,
that's
good.
Correct. I don't know if it was such a hit as they're making it out to be.
I don't know, but it's good to know stuff like that. And I've always wondered if they, I guess that's why I don't question the prices too much in season one, because they were so passionate about it that in my imagination, I think, okay, they really did research it. Whereas when it got later in the season, things seemed to get a little loosey-goosey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think season one, they probably, just researched everything down to the last. But then, as it, you know, just kind of like how the spiritual aspect of the show changed until it was completely non-existent. Things just kind of got, you know, slipped and slid a little bit as the longer it went on.
So what do we have here? We're going to have another visit at the store where Carrie wants to go and buy something. Carrie is not focusing on any one particular person. I think she's focusing on the entire family.
Yes.
Which is much nicer. So here's her little moment.
Excuse me just a minute.
Just go right ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Where did all that money come from?
Me.
And you want to buy something with this, no doubt.
Star.
Oh, the star. All right. Fine. We'll get it for you. You don't mind, ma'am.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, Carrie, you don't have enough money. That star costs 5 cents.
Well, this tag happens to be wrong. It should read 1 penny. And 1 penny is what I'm going to take for it. There you are.
And wasn't that really nice of him?
It was.
And on top of it, though, Laura has to throw this in.
Could you wrap it, please, Mr. Olson?
Sure. Let's make it a complete loss.
Exactly. I was like, man, would you wrap it for a penny, too?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, sure. What am I going to say? No?
Right.
At this point? Oh, my God. And, you know, a penny, you know, what kind of loss is that? I mean, that's, let's see, by the same calculator. Well, 5 cents is a dollar, so it's not that big of a deal.
Right. The Olsons can afford it. They're loaded. Harriet will make it up on jacking up the price on that hat.
Well, remember, because later on, there's a 13-cent leftover on something. So that's $2.16 of licorice and candies. So I don't know. I think these numbers are off.
Yeah, but remember, Nels originally only offered Laura $5 for that horse. And so we're talking about a $2-and-something deficit there, too. It's a calculus episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah,
Nels is losing money everywhere.
You know, I'm going to say flat out that I think this calculator should be doubled. So $280, I would say that the oven would have been equivalent to, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. So she gets the star wrapped up, which I think is very sweet. As promised, the wheels are built, painted, delivered, and they look perfect.
Yes. So only in Ingalls could do it.
Seriously. There is a scene where he damages one of the wheels, which I was, you know, surprised to see.
Yeah.
Because he
damaged it good. And then falls to sleep in the bed.
Yeah, he just gotta go to sleep.
Right.
So here we have Charles delivering the wheels, getting ready for payment.
That was $8, boy.
That's right, but I don't want the money.
What?
No, I want the stove. Mark, $7.87. You owe me $8. I'll take 13 cents worth of candy. Make it even. 8 cents worth of licorice, 5 cents worth of candy canes.
Good deal for you. You make a profit on the soap.
Well, it's a good deal, all right. But the only thing is that you can't have that stove.
Why not?
Well, somebody else has already bought it. I'm just holding it for him.
Well, what about the storeroom? You have another one?
No, that's the only one. Not much call for stoves. Most folks around here have already got one.
You're just going to have to order me one. How long will it take?
10 or 12 weeks. Why don't you settle for something else? Why, you can have that nice china lamp there. I'll throw in the kerosene for it.
I am. No.
What about a knick-knack shelf? That salt water, hand-rubbed. With a little Dresden figurine on it, it would set off your house real well.
No, sir, my mind's made up. I want the stove. You're just going to have to order it for me. Let me see your catalog.
Right there.
I'll take the candy anyway.
Hey, what about a clock? I've got one here that runs for 8 hours here.
8 hours? So do we have a name on this catalog? Like, is this some type of... We don't really know what catalog.
Yeah,
is, right?
No, we don't really know. I mean, they whip out that catalog a lot. Everything from Christmas to, you know, the Boys Will Be Boys episodes. Yeah, where they're looking at the corsets.
Hilarious.
So no, yeah, I don't know. I love though how Nell says, "Oh, that little Dresden figurine will set off your house real nice." Like, yeah, the half plastered walls.
Well, you know, we do get one shot that we've never seen before in this particular episode. We get this shot of from the fireplace.
Yes.
Where you see the one completely bare wall.
Right.
Which we I don't think has ever been seen in any other episode.
No, I think it's in the episode. I think it's in the Country Girls episode. The where mom makes the blue dresses for the girls. I think we get a shot of it there too.
I was really surprised because I was like, where is this? Like, it wasn't making a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. But you find that there, it's like in that first season, especially maybe the first, 3 to 5 episodes, they had a lot of really weird shot angles. Like sometimes they would shoot like from the loft down that you mm-hmm. never saw again, you know, and I don't know, maybe they were just experimenting or, you know, from all stories, Michael Landon, like Charlotte said, ran a really tight ship and knew exactly what he wanted things to look like. And so maybe he found that getting creative with the shots after a while just wasn't worth the time or something. I don't know. But we do get to see a lot of different angles in episode in the season one that we never see again.
So here's, so he orders the stove. And we are, it's Christmas evening. It's snowing, it's a white Christmas. And we're all dancing around. Pa's got the fiddle out, there's a fire going as usual. Jack is around pre-rabies. And they do have a tree type of thing.
They do.
Or bush or something. No, it's a tree.
Right.
I didn't know that trees were in vogue in the late 1800s, but I'm not really sure.
I know. I didn't get a chance to research that either.
I'm going to do a quick search, but here's that scene.
Engels!
Hey, Olsen!
Got a delivery here for you.
Hold it.
Hi, Honor.
I'll give you a hand getting it in. It's quite heavy.
Hey, it's not full of chicken feathers, that's for sure.
Imagine what I could...
Just to you, Mrs. Ingalls. It's not to be open till Christmas. Well, I guess I better be getting on because I've got other deliveries to make, too.
I'll
Merry
see
Christmas,
you.
Folks.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Olsen.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
So it's a huge crate. You know, it's, there's a little bit more to this episode. I mean, to this clip.
Olsen, I want to thank you for bringing it out. I don't know how you managed
it. Engels, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Carl.
And I don't think we'll ever see Carl again.
Yeah, I was going to say, Carl, who's that?
Yeah, Carl. See you, Carl. He's going to go back to driving people around on the back lot.
Exactly. I was going to say, he's a grip. I said, I'll just throw him in the sink.
We need somebody. So what do we add here? So we're going to... Oh, yeah, right here. I'm just going to... sorry, I didn't really write down my notes very well. Here's where everyone's getting gifts. It doesn't make a lot of sense when you're listening to it. Mary appears to have gotten some type of rabbit shawl, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things I was saying. We fox? Never see that again.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's a skin. You know, like, there's no liner or anything.
Right. It's just kind of pieced together, but it's so pretty and so grown up.
Yeah, it's so grown up. look like a real rabbit. And right. So here's that little clip.
It's pretty.
Thank you.
And delicious.
Here's your present, Pa. You better like it because I made it. Me and Mrs. Whipple.
Well, if you made it, I know I'm going to like it. I'm just wondering what's in here.
Steak.
Right.
Oh, Mary, that is beautiful.
And of all the materials, it's the same exact material that Mop had.
Look at that, Carolyn.
Exactly.
Hope it fits.
Oh, it looks like a perfect fit.
And Caroline looks mortified.
Right.
She looks like she's going to cry her eyes out.
You did a beautiful job, Mary.
Oh, thank you, darling. Wow, I'm going to be pretty fancy going to church. New shirt, new scarf.
We're also getting shots of the upper part of their rooms, which we don't normally see this.
Right.
Where the upper walls meet the ceiling and the roof joists and stuff. And you can see where the plaster just ends up there and the sticks. Very strange construction.
It absolutely is.
I think they might.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I accidentally clicked.
Oh, I was going to say that. But of course, it's Little House on the Prairie. So, of course, Ma sneakily takes her gift, which is the exact same thing as what Mary made, and, you know, shoves it under the Christmas tree skirt. So as not to ruin, you know, Mary's moment. And I mean, those are the kind of moments in Little House that selfless kind of, you know, now, if you had that scene in a show that reflected 2017, she'd be just like, you know.
Right. She'd punch Mary or something.
What do you mean? You ruined my surprise. And if it was an episode of Roseanne or something.
You stole it. Right. Yeah. I think that's what she thought at first. She's like, you stole the shirt.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, that's, you know, come on. That's why we love Little House, because it just brings that decency and that sweetness and that selflessness that we just don't see on too much on television anymore.
Yeah. So here we go with the, we're done with that particular clip. All right. So here Laura's going to get a gift. Very nice gift. Big gift. She even makes a little joke for the first time ever about Half Pint.
Right.
Be something under that tree for Half Pint. Let's take a look. This looks like a Half Pint present.
Pretty big for a Half Pint size present.
No one laughed. Yet they didn't even, like, laugh. So Ma tucks her shirt away. And it's a horse saddle. With this music, you think it's a horse head.
Right.
Like a scene from The Godfather.
Right, Lord.
I knew how much you wanted.
Back to covers.
I had a hard time keeping it hidden from you, too. So I didn't want you sneaking in the barn.
Looks like somebody really likes her present.
Yeah, Laura, why don't you go? This is like if I was like the brother, I'd go, hey, why don't you go put on Buddy right now? Actually, Buddy is still there.
Yes, but not for long.
No, not for long because,
well, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, like literally minutes later. Well, actually, hold on. Let's, here we go. I like this part. The part where they have to open up the big, the crate that was delivered by Nels.
The big box.
And it says Fragile on the side. That's the way they're opening it. It's kind of funny.
Right.
And what kind of wood is this? This isn't like, you know, southern pine. This is like oak. I
don't know. Right.
It's like nice wood that they use to, like,
yeah, put this coffee thing table.
Out. Yeah.
It. Hammer's on a mantle.
Of course it is.
Hey, you need some help?
I can do it.
She's not allowed to vote, but she can open up her own crate.
That's right, my gosh. Go for it, Carolyn. Get that thing open.
Oh, it's a stove.
I wonder who gave that to you.
I wonder. Bunch of idiots.
Laura?
It's like, what?
Let me see.
Pa thinks that she stole the stove.
Right?
And in probably the weirdest set design that I've ever seen, they have a camera shot from the stable out of the stable to the little house, and you know it's snowing. It just looks so fake. I cannot.
Oh, do you think? You know what? When I watched it a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking the snow piled up in the barn that it looked compared to the ridiculousness of the snow and the Christmas they never forgot. I thought it looked pretty legit.
No. The snow itself looks real. The set itself, like,
oh yes.
The house doesn't look real. It's very strange to me, but it is, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So coming out of it.
Oh, careful there.
Also,
hello,
just,
Nelly.
One other thing that's kind of funny. They just got there, right? And the seat is just being covered with snow now.
Right.
Really.
Bing.
Merry Christmas, singles.
Same to you, Olsen.
Don't wipe your feet around.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Well, Mrs. Ingalls, how do you like it?
Oh.
You should be very proud of your little girl. She's quite a sharp trader. Of course, she had me over a barrel. Knowing how much Nellie wanted that pony.
You know, Caroline has this outfit on that's kind of modern. She's a vest on.
Yes.
Probably a wool vest. I don't think we ever see this outfit again.
No.
Like I don't you were think saying, so right? Either.
Yeah, the dress, yes. I recognize the dress from the whole series,
vest.
But not that vest.
No. It's kind of weird. They're all wearing vests in this episode. What's the is it? I wonder, was there something with vests in Christmas?
Well, I don't. Maybe it's the 1870s version of the bad Christmas sweater. I don't know.
That's funny.
Come on, Elliot, let's get Bunny.
I'm sorry. I know that I had to spoil your surprise, but there's nothing I could say.
I understand. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Charles, her pony, we can't...
Carolyn, she had the right.
But she loves Bunny, so...
I think she loves you more.
Oh, I can't...
Carolyn, she wants to do this. She loves you, don't spoil it for her.
Oh.
Think of all the money we'll save.
Exactly.
Won't have to feed that stupid horse. It's just a pony. I'm sorry, pony. And this gets a little bit weepy, but, you know, it's pretty much, you know, she's like, all right, it's mine now.
Yeah, it gets very weepy. And 40 plus years later, I will still sit there just like a total fool and get weepy right along with Laura. Absolutely.
I don't know. I think that it was a really grown up, growing up experience for her to sacrifice something she loves for the betterment absolutely. Of her family and her mother. I don't know. I thought that I didn't think this was as much of a weepy episode. I thought it was, you know, she's the only one who really sacrificed anything.
Yeah. I mean, the whole episode isn't weepy, but this particular, you know, thing. And when the big reveal comes, and because they're thinking, of course, that she's weeping because she had to give her pony away. And
And here we go.
Right.
Oh, I just love my stove. Oh, don't cry.
They put a hot pocket in there. With pepperoni.
Someday we'll have another pony.
It's not the pony. I'm sorry about all the hard work you had to do on the saddle, Pa.
This kid. I'm waiting for one of those. What am I gonna do with you?
Saddle.
Right now, Carrie. We forgot about you.
Open mine, Papa. Oh.
Carrie, we almost forgot about you.
See? Proof.
Wow, now that's quite a present. Who's it for?
Baby Jesus.
Mm.
It's a 2,000-euro baby.
Well, let's see.
Sweet, and I'm just gonna play it towards the end because the music is very good here.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's very cute.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy birthday, baby.
What a special episode.
Yay! Merry Christmas! Happy Hanukkah! Happy holidays! Yay!
I did like this episode a lot. I remember this episode fondly from when I was a kid. I think they would play this pretty much, you know, like 10 times during December.
Oh, yes.
They definitely wore this one out instead of playing the newer Christmas one.
Yeah, this one's right up there with It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, but again, to me, it is the quintessential Little House Christmas episode. And maybe it is just because it brings back, you know, I was still, 13, I guess, in 74. And so was still just very deeply enmeshed in Little House, unlike today.
I think I was one.
Right.
Yeah, I remember 74 very fondly. And no, I don't. But
I know you don't. You brat.
Yeah.
It is. It's just warm, fuzzy. Nothing tragic happens. It's just, and there is a lot of, you know, the boring of the back and forth or whatever. But that's what I love, all the little secrets. It just has such a, It just has such a wonderful Christmassy. Everybody's wanting to get somebody some. I mean, everybody's wanting to get something special for everybody, and they don't have a lot of money. So you have the rub of the financial struggle, and I don't know. I just absolutely love it.
No, I remember I watched this episode a while ago with my wife, and she goes at the very end, "Where's Charles' money? Where's his money? You know, like for making the wheels." Because
I think the same thing.
Because it's like, you know, hey, you dropped off this, you know, thing, and
right,
you're picking up the pony. You're at my house twice in, you know, 24 hours. I think we have a little bit of business to settle up.
Yeah, hand over the cat. I know, I thought the same thing. It's like, guy, could you just give him his money back? I've always thought that. Those were weird thoughts.
Yeah,
pop into my head too.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's get down to business.
Exactly. But yeah.
But don't worry. By the time the next few episodes come, poverty will be back for the Engels.
Oh, absolutely. And Laura, you know, in the bunny episode, remember her and Mary walking home from school, mm-hmm. Laura's upset saying, I wish I'd never given my pony to Nellie. And then Mary scolds her, Laura, you were so proud at Christmas when you gave Ma that stove. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the few times where they actually reflect back to another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then the big question mark is in the air. Will Laura ever get her pony back? Stay tuned. Yeah, of course, everybody that listened to this podcast already knows the answer to that
exactly.
question.
Yes,
but
she does.
She does.
But
thanks to Nels.
But because of a bad harvest, they have to sell the horse to a glue factory. I'm sorry, pony. But, this is going to be Walnut Grove Cast's, I guess, last episode of the year. Maybe, I don't know. There could always be another, you know, discussion. But that just means 2018 is opening its doors to all the other episodes that have not been covered. So,
yes.
Look forward to that. You know what? This is such like a normal episode that I don't know. There's something about it. I just feel, it's a sweet episode. It really kind of left me wanting one of the more hardcore episodes. Like I miss Albert when I watch these earlier episodes.
Right.
I need more characters.
Yeah, no, I know. It they do keep it very, I mean, with the exception of the few times in the Mercantile, they really do keep it close to home. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that was intentional. Christmas is supposed to be all about, you know, family and the home mm-hmm. fires burning. And
Jesus.
Absolutely. So.
But I want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and our Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you might celebrate this week.
Well, right, exactly. And to you and your beautiful family, the same. Happy
Thank
Hanukkah,
you.
Happy holidays, all that good stuff.
And to all of our listeners, you do not have to send presents, but cash.
Yeah, exactly. Or gift cards, well, just whatever.
And
I like those Harry and David pears. Those are my favorite.
You know what? We get those gift things, and it's like I never know what to do with the basket.
Right. Well, this is save it for mail or some for Christmas cards. Put your Christmas card or Hanukkah cards in it. Just so you can turn around and throw them in the trash. That is so, you know, my parents, it must be a generational thing because my parents have got cards that go all the way back to the 1940s and the 19. As a matter of fact, in my living room, I have a glass jar that has got my dad's Christmas tree ornaments from 1932 wow. when he was a little boy. My mom put them in a big glass jar because they're too delicate to hang on a tree. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the little pine cone people, those, you know, the ones that you see now that, I mean, they make them new now, but I mean, I've got ones that go back from the 1940s and the 50s. So
mm-hmm.
It's fun.
That's awesome. Well, what are you doing for Christmas?
Just be here in Houston, Texas, high and dry with no flood waters. And I'm going to go to my mom's house in Magnolia where she'll have it decked out every room, every bathroom,
nice.
Even the, yeah.
Is she the type of person that buys those, the cinnamon brooms?
No, she doesn't do that, but her Christmas decorations consist of a big box full of loose leaves and poinsettias and silk things, and she creates new floral arrangements. And my mother is incredibly artistic, and she's German Polish, so she's already made all of her German sweetbreads, and they're in the freezer. And nice. And she's makes. Oh, when I was a kid, the Charlie Chip Company used to deliver potato chips to your house in these big metal containers, the things that you see now that they have the different flavors of popcorn in.
I remember having potato chips in tins.
Do you remember Charlie Chips? Yeah.
It was more of a gourmet type thing. It was, it wasn't like a normal thing.
Well, we had them delivered to our house every week along with milk in glass bottles. That's how far I go back. And, she saved all of those metal tins, Charlie Chip tins. She saved them, and she fills those with Christmas cookies. And if you store Christmas cookies like that,
mm-hmm.
the best way to keep them fresh is to put foil around the top and punch little holes in the middle, and put a slice of apple over the holes and a piece of wax paper, and then put the lid down on it, and they'll stay fresh.
I believe you.
For weeks and weeks.
Everyone else in this house hates those kind of cookies, the butter cookies. I love them. I think they're amazing.
Oh, I know what I'm going to ship for you for Christmas. My mother makes a butter cookie that's just, I get those every year, a whole tin of the little Christmas trees from the butter press.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I tend to cook a lot. What is like a normal thing for Christmas? I mean, I've heard of Christmas ham. But isn't turkey another thing for Christmas?
Yeah, people cook turkeys again. They'll do the double turkey thing from Thanksgiving, Christmas. They'll do a Christmas goose. They'll do ham. My mother, every once in a while, my mother would do what is it called, where you do the big filet and you wrap it in the dough. You do the big filet of steak. It's like a whole filet, yeah, and you wrap it in, yeah.
A Wellington?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Every once in a while, she'd do a beef Wellington.
Those are fancy. Those are not mm-hmm. easy to pull off.
Mm-hmm. Or if she wants to get real German on us, she'll do Sauerbraten.
Sour? Isn't that sausages and sauerkraut?
No, it's a big piece of beef that is marinated for like days and days and days. It's the nastiest smell. She'll make those
Sauerbraten.
With spätzle noodles, homemade noodles. It takes like 3 dozen eggs to make this spätzle pasta stuff. Yeah.
Does she have like those ornate kind of glasses with a punch bowl? Like with people have these like really kind of crazy glasses like for eggnog. Eggnog.
Eggnog. Yeah, when I was a little girl, that's probably some of my best memories, is that when we would come home from school, she would always have all the German Christmas carols playing on our Motorola stereo, which my parents still have. Mm-hmm. And we'd get to come home and decorate cookies. She would just have the counters just, I'm talking like 30 dozen. I mean, crazy. And because she'd bake them for all the neighbors, and we'd get to come home and put little sprinkles on the Christmas trees. And our Christmas tree, as a child, she brought that Polish-German heritage thing. Our Christmas tree was completely edible. Mm-hmm. All of the ornaments were cookies. There were little chocolate balls. And we had to say a poem or sing a Christmas song to be able to get something off the tree.
Wow.
Yeah, so she just really, Christmas is a very, there's a lot of really special memories.
If you sing it wrong, European Christmas. If you sing it wrong, do you have to like drink like, sour herring or something?
No. No, you had to eat the Sauerbraten. That's, it was nasty. I hated it.
You sit down, you have so stramming.
That's right.
But I have a friend who lives in Norway now. He's a New Yorker who moved to Norway.
Yeah, and the guy that wrote the Albert song.
Right. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
the guy,
I remember.
Jerry Giraldi.
Yes.
The darkest man in Norway.
Right.
And he's always talking about the strangest German. And, he'll just take the train to Germany. It's like he's not far at all. And he's always talking about the strange foods and the, you know, these bizarre names and everything. It's just, it does not at all connect to American cuisine.
No, not at all. My mother always used to tell me about the Chris Kendall market. I always, before she got too old, and unfortunately we never had a chance to do it. Well, and really, unfortunately, because my mother grew up in Europe during World War II, she never really wanted to go back. She had a lot of bad memories.
Sure.
From her, you know.
Exactly. A happy place.
But yeah, but she always used to, but she had before.
But when she was a girl,
happened.
I'm sure it was.
Yes, before the war and everything happened, she would always tell us wonderful stories
about Lingonberry.
Yeah.
She had memories of high viscosity soups.
There you go. There you go. And making Stollen. She still makes Stollen to this day, the German Christmas bread. So, yeah,
well,
she's
a
hoot.
I made a beer a while ago that I just decided to bottle. And it was supposed to be a Thanksgiving or pumpkin beer. But I bottled it last night and I took a taste of it. And there's no, I don't taste any pumpkin at all, but I did put apple spice in it as well, apple pie spice. I don't know why, I just decided to when I first brewed it. And when I tasted it, it has the taste of basically a fruit cake. You know,
oh wow,
a good fruitcake, not these nasty, you know,
right? Not the fruitcakes that Pee Wee Herman used on the Pee Wee Christmas special to right. build the extra room attachment to his house. Yeah.
Right, yeah, not the cement bricks.
No,
and it smells really, really good, and it's very dry. So I don't know. I bottled it. We'll see. It'll carbonate in 2 weeks, and I'll give it a real taste.
Oh, wow.
But I'm calling it in the XPA for the Christmas pie ale. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? Now that you're saying that, I saw you put a picture of it up on Facebook. Well, I saw the bottle. Yeah,
I filled one huge bottle up with it because I had I ran out of small bottles, so I'm like, all right, I have to fill a regular, like this liter bottle.
And there's no maggots, right?
Not this time.
I'm
no.
never gonna let you live that Ugh, down.
That's gross. I just had no idea what I was doing.
I love that though. I love that about you. I love the adventure of making. I mean, it does. It takes open up that Little House cookbook and just wow. I've got recipes of my grandmother's where. How they measured things, it was like 3 pieces of butter the size of a walnut before they used exactly. measuring cups and stuff. Yeah, so it's just like, ain't no telling how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, because walnuts, yeah, the size of walnuts have completely changed.
Yeah,
over
right.
the course of 100 years, sure.
Absolutely.
That's strange. But
absolutely.
But, all right, well, thank you so much for getting together tonight and for all you've done for the show this year. And I hopefully you continue for 2018.
Well,
you renew the contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's sign that contract. Absolutely. I just, you know, I love it, and I can't say enough good stuff about it. It's just the joy of my life to be able to be a part of this. So you can count on me in 2018. Whenever you need me, I'll be there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I don't know. I'll catch you next time, I guess.
Oh,
see you next year.
Okay.
Yeah. is fleeting.